Hello, this is Dee, reading the Vermilion County News for October 26th. We'll begin our reading today with the front page article entitled, Still Engaged, Project Success Celebrates Lights On After School, by Jennifer Bailey. Project Success of Vermilion County activities may look a little different with after-school programs with COVID-19, but one site coordinator said they are making the best of the situation and are still engaging students in a variety of ways. In celebration of Lights On After School on Thursday, students had fun with an art fair, scavenger hunt, and bonfire with s'mores and hot dogs. Lights On After School recognizes the work, importance, and impact of after-school programs worldwide. It also shows how committed each community is to serving students and families. After-school programs are places that provide safety, love, support, and fun activities to students. They help to shape children's minds and guide them toward who they wish to become later in life. That's according to Project Success officials. We're just trying to have something available, said Kelsey Coleman, Project Success site coordinator at Southview Upper Elementary School, about after-school activities. Laura Lee Fellowship House is currently housing the Project Success programs and students in Danville. Coleman, who oversees 5th and 6th graders, can usually see up to 10 students enrolled. Those students this week worked on projects for an art fair. There was a drive-through event for parents to view their children's art pieces. The art creations included skeletons and Day of the Dead skulls on canvas. It was fun for them to do, Coleman said, adding that the students drew pictures on the canvases and then decorated them any way they wanted to. They also had paper pumpkins, glued crayons, and used blow dryers on canvas, and had Halloween jack-o'-lanterns in mason jars. Coleman said some of the jack-o'-lanterns had glow sticks to allow them to glow like a lava lamp. Other activities from this week, one group's theme was social, emotional, and physical health. It is important to raise awareness of the significance of providing programs where kids can learn healthful habits for life. Students and staff were part of a group meditation time as well as other fun and physical activities. Students and staff sat through a reflection session to talk about the challenges experienced this year, and each class learned to cook a healthy recipe together with their own food ingredients. Next week, some of the student groups will have a walk-by socially distanced trick-or-treating fest in their classrooms. They'll learn about some fun, creepy stories about Danville and have a Halloween party and games. Coleman said they'll pass out candy and have other activities so kids can see their favorite teachers. They'll be able to wave in person instead of just seeing some of them through computer screens, she said. Project Success of Vermilion County after-school programs are a mix of in-person programming and virtual programming to support local students and families across Vermilion County. Another front page article is entitled, Officials to Discuss Proposed Sewer Fee Changes, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. More increases could be coming to resident and business sewer bills. City officials next week will give a sewer and stormwater systems presentation at the Danville City Council Public Services Committee meeting via teleconference at 6 p.m. Tuesday, with a link to the meeting on the city's website at www.cityofdanville.org, and conducting meetings with the public to talk about sewer projects and proposed increases in the city sewer fee. The City of Danville on Friday announced two public presentations regarding proposed changes to its sewer billing structure and rates. The presentations will be followed by the opportunity to ask questions of Mayor Ricky Williams, Jr., and city staff regarding the proposed changes. Presentation options: 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, October 27th, or 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, October 28th, in the Robert E. Jones Municipal Buildings Lower Level Council Chambers, 17 West Main Street. If you plan to attend, please RSVP to 217-431-2321 by 3:30 p.m. Monday, October 26th. That's 217-431-2321. Indicating which date you will be present. Attendance will be limited. Please note, attendees will be required to wear a mask inside City Hall. Hand sanitizer will be available, and seating will be set up in a socially distant manner to make these sessions as safe as possible. On Friday, City Engineer Sam Cole said there were still finalizing possible fee impacts to residents and businesses. We've invited the larger industries. We haven't had any RSVPs, Cole said about the meetings. We are going to open them up to the general public. Over the last year, we've looked at what our needs are in the sewer system, ongoing needs to run it successfully. And Cole also said the proposal will get us in line with a sustainably funded sewer system. He said they were reaching out to businesses, the larger users, first to get feedback. He said this would not be a new fee, but increase to the city sewer fee already on Danville Sanitary District bills residents and business owners receive. The Danville Sanitary District also is proposing increased fees to its treatment and base charge fees on sewer bills that would start next year. The city contracts with the Sanitary District for billing services. The bills also have included increased Danville garbage fees and the public safety pension fee. Our next article is entitled OSF Changing ER Traffic by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Drivers along Logan Avenue in front of OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center may have noticed the south median removed and other changes occurring. According to OSF officials, the section of the median was removed by the City of Danville at OSF's request as part of a larger project at the medical center. The change will accommodate the pending reversal of traffic there, which allows easier access to the emergency department off of Logan Avenue. With the upcoming closure of Logan Avenue, the preferred route to the hospital will now be from Fairchild Street. Now, instead of making four sharp turns to reach the emergency department, patients will be able to turn directly onto Logan Avenue and straight to the care they need, according to OSF officials. The traffic reversal start is Wednesday, according to City Engineer Sam Cole, who said the median section in front of the hospital was removed earlier this month due to OSF wanting to change traffic patterns with its ER. The medians have helped with funneling pedestrian traffic, Cole said. OSF and the city also are working together on a petition to vacate a roadway, which will save the city maintenance in the long term. Cole added, essentially, it's a win-win. Also, OSF officials provided a COVID-19 update. We have seen an increase in COVID cases throughout Vermilion County. OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center does have an emergency operations plan that contains a surge plan if needed. That plan allows us to increase our general and or ICU beds as necessary. Across the ministry, OSF Healthcare has a deep bench of resources to include personal protective equipment, PPE, and the ability to redeploy resources within our system, including PPE and personnel, if we need to do so. The other front page story is entitled, Vermilion County Registers Its 12th Virus Death. It's a staff report. COVID-19 has claimed the life of another Vermilion County resident. The Vermilion County Health Department reported Friday afternoon that the victim is a woman in her 60s. She was the 12th COVID-19 related death since the pandemic began in March. Health officials reported 63 new cases in the county for the day, one resident in their 80s, five in their 70s, eight in their 60s, 10 in their 50s, eight in their 40s, nine in their 30s, six in their 20s, 11 teens, three grade school-age children, and two toddlers, which brings the county's total since the pandemic began to 1,453 positive cases, 204 of which are active. There are currently 12 COVID-positive county residents hospitalized, officials stated. Earlier in the day, Vermilion County was listed as one of 51 Illinois counties at a warning level for COVID-19, an increase of 34 counties from last week. The Illinois Department of Health states in a news release that a county enters a warning level when two or more COVID-19 risk indicators that measure the amount of COVID-19 increase. The counties currently reported at a warning level are Adams, Bond, Boone, Carroll, Cass, Christian, Clay, Clinton, Crawford, DeKalb, Douglas, Edwards, Fayette, Ford, Franklin, Gallatin, Green, Hamilton, Henderson, Jersey, Joe Davies, Johnson, Kane, Kendall, Knox, LaSalle, Lee, Macon, McCoupin, McDonough, McHenry, Mercer, Morgan, Moultrie, Ogle, Perry, Pike, Pulaski, Rock Island, Saline, Shelby, Stevenson, Union, Vermilion, Wabash, Warren, Wayne, Whiteside, Will, Williamson, and Winnebago. I will move on to another staff report entitled Vermilion County Tentative Multiplier Announced. Springfield. Vermilion County has been issued a tentative property assessment equalization factor of 1.0000, according to David Harris, Director of the Illinois Department of Revenue. The Property Assessment Equalization Factor, often called the multiplier, is the method used to achieve uniform property assessments among counties, as required by law. This equalization is particularly important because some of the state's 6,600 local taxing districts overlap into two or more counties, for example, school districts, junior college districts, fire protection districts. If there were no equalization among counties, substantial inequities among taxpayers with comparable properties would result. State law requires property in Illinois to be assessed at one-third of its market value. Farm property is assessed differently, with farm home sites and dwellings subject to regular assessing and equalization procedures, but with farmland and farm buildings assessed according to standards based on productivity. The equalization factor is determined annually for each county by comparing the sales price of individual properties sold over the past 3 years to the assessed value placed on those properties by the county supervisor of assessments or county assessor. If this 3-year average level of assessment is one-third of market value, the equalization factor will be 1. If the average level of assessment is greater than one-third of market value, the equalization factor will be less than 1. And if the average level of assessment is less than one-third of market value, the equalization factor will be greater than 1. Assessments in Vermilion County are at 33.47% of market value, based on sales of properties in 2017, 18, and 19. The equalization factor currently being assigned is for 2020 taxes payable in 2021. Last year's equalization factor for the county was 1.0. The tentative factor is subject to change, 1, if the County Board of Review takes actions which significantly affect the county assessments, or 2, if local officials or others can present data showing that the Department of Revenue's estimates of the average level of assessments in the county should be adjusted. A public hearing on the tentative multiplier will be conducted between 20 and 30 days after the tentative factor is published in a newspaper of general circulation within the county. A change in the equalization factor does not mean total property tax bills will increase or decrease. Tax bills are determined by local taxing bodies when they request money each year to provide services to local citizens. If the amount requested by local taxing districts is not greater than the amount received in the previous year, then total property taxes will not increase, even if assessments may have increased. The assessed value of an individual property determines what portion of the tax burden a specific taxpayer will assume. That individual's portion of tax responsibility is not changed by the multiplier. Moving on to another staff report, which is entitled Book to Show Photos from Across County. Arcadia Publishing of Charleston, South Carolina, is publishing a new Images of America Vermilion County by local Hoopston resident Carol Johnson Hicks. The book is scheduled to be in area businesses by October 26th. It features photos and postcards of many Vermilion County towns and villages from Hoopston in the north to Ridge Farm in the south that were owned or bought on eBay by Hicks or donated by area residents for inclusion in the book. Danville and Hoopston received the most attention due to the availability of photos and postcards, but Rankin, Rossville, East Lynn, Cheneyville, Henney, and Indianola, to name a few, of the towns and villages included, among others. Several villages no longer in existence are also mentioned whenever a building was moved to another location, such as from Kentucky, Illinois, whose church was relocated to Bismarck in 1912. The church, Bismarck Pleasant View Christian Church, on page 79, in the Danville section of the book, was built in 1852, moved to Bismarck in 1912, and closed to church services in 2007 due to decreasing membership. Many of the older generation will remember the Tin Man and Indian that stood at the north end of Danville on Route 1, looming tall in front of Herb Drew's air conditioning and furnace business from 1949 to 1994. Several photos were donated of these iconic statues and can be seen on pages 77 and 78. Although the deadline prevented the author from finding all photos or postcards of every town, every effort was made to obtain as many as were available to her. Hicks was born in Danville's St. Elizabeth Hospital in 1943 and graduated with the class of 1961 from Hoopston High School. She was one of the co-authors of Images of America Hoopston, along with Jean Minnick and Nora Golson, in 2015. Minnick and Hicks also provided Hoopston photos for Images of America, the Dixie Highway in Illinois, published in 2009 for the Vermilion County section of that book. The book can be ordered through Arcadia Publishing at www.arcadiapublishing.com, at Barnes & Noble's in Champaign, and Treasured Roots Flower Shop and Specialty Gifts at 702 West Main Street, Hoopston. Another staff report is entitled Library to Host Spoon River via Zoom, Danville. This October, Danville Public Library will host a presentation shining a light on the lives of early 20th century Illinoisans through Edgar Lee Masters' Spoon River Anthology. Performing selections of Spoon River Anthology are Patty and John Lynn of Mundelein. The presentation, Spoon River Anthology, will take place on October 24th at Zoom at 2 p.m. Registration was held, and no other library work from Illinois has ever had the radical impact as Edgar Lee Masters' anthology. In Masters' 243 thinly veiled epitaph poems, people from all walks of life come forward from their graves and share compelling stories of their hopes, dreams, tragedies, and joys, not to mention their advice and warnings to those who are still living. The uproar that the book created because of its unique free verse style and its portrayal of characters with blunt, brutal honesty caused a scandal upon its debut. The characters are based on real people that the author knew from growing up in Fulton County. As a result of the scandal, the book was banned from the Spoon River area schools and libraries until 1974. The stories capture all aspects of life, irony, comedy, failure, and success. These monologues will not only reflect life and times of those living in 1915, but also offer universal lessons to all of us living today. The event will be co-produced by the Illinois Humanities Rhodes Scholars Speaker Bureau, which invites Illinois authors, artists, and educators to share their expertise and enthusiasm with people throughout the state, enabling local nonprofit organizations to present free admission cultural programs to their communities. The current edition of the Rhodes Scholars Speakers Bureau, presented in cooperation with the Illinois Bicentennial Commission and the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, consists of presentations exploring Illinois history and culture in recognition of the state's 200th anniversary. International storyteller and actress Patty Lynn has been sharing her passion for literature and storytelling for more than 20 years with people of all ages. Her story acting programs for children have traveled all over the Midwest and many cities in Mexico. Patty is the author of several children's books and has served as a drama teacher in various schools and libraries in Illinois. Renowned theater director and retired teacher John Lynn has a special affinity for Spoon River, having directed it numerous times in his teaching career. John has spent more than 50 years with the Kirk Players in Mundelein and now serves as the artistic director for the group. Spoon River Anthology took place Saturday, October 24th at 2 p.m. on Zoom. The event was free and open to all audiences. And now we'll turn to obituaries. The first is John C. Mason, Jr., M.D., 90, passed away peacefully on Tuesday, October 20th, 2020 at home. A private family celebration of life will be held at St. James United Methodist Church in Danville. Reverend Randall Robinson will officiate. Interment will be in Sunset Memorial Park. A public visitation will be held from 4:30 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, October 29th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. It is kindly requested that those in attendance at the visitation or service wear a mask and practice social distancing. For those wishing to send an expression of condolence in lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the University of Illinois at Chicago John C. Mason Family Endowed Scholarship Fund, 770612 College of Medicine. webhost.uic.edu/giving/startgivingmedicine2.html. DAC Foundation for the Mason Cole Scholarship, Danville Area Community College, 2000 East Main Street, Danville, 61832, checks payable to DAC Foundation for the Mason Cole Scholarship, or Fetch Dog Part, 12 Newell Avenue, Danville, Illinois, 61832, checks payable to Fetch Dog Park. Preston Lee Brown, 78, of Bismarck, Illinois, passed away on October 20th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation was on Saturday, October 24th, from 1 to 3 at Northside Church of Christ in Bismarck, with a private service following. Memorials may be given to Northside Church of Christ, Post Office Box 199, Bismarck, Illinois, 61814. All memorials will be given to Bismarck Blessings. Dennis Lucas, Sr., 71, of Georgetown, passed away at 2:20 p.m. Tuesday, October 20th, at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. A celebration of Dennis's life was held at 4 p.m. Sunday, October 25th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown. Phil Miller officiated. Visitation was from 1 to 4 p.m. prior to the service. As per his wishes, he will be accorded cremation rites and later will be laid to rest in West Lebanon Cemetery in Indiana. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given to his family to help with final expenses. Alice Joan Heath, 85, passed away at 12 p.m. Thursday, October 15th at her home. A celebration of Alice's life will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, October 30th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville, Illinois, 414 South State Street, Westville, with Kevin Cox officiating. Visitation will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. Thursday, October 29th at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Danville National Cemetery. It is kindly requested that face masks be worn and social distancing is practiced by all those in attendance of the visitation and service. Memorial donations may be given in her name to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Larry Dean Park, 79, of Georgetown, passed away at 4:19 a.m. Thursday, October 15th, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center, Danville. A celebration of Larry's life will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, October 31st, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown, Illinois, 200 East West Street, with Pastor James Blue officiating. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to his service at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Georgetown Cemetery. During these unprecedented times, it is kindly requested that face masks be worn and social distancing is practiced by all those in attendance of the visitation and service. Memorial donations may be given in his name to Cumberland Presbyterian Church, Georgetown. Nellie Catherine Quillman, 96, of Brighton, Illinois, formerly of Danville, passed away at 10:20 a.m. at Robbins Manor in Brighton, Illinois, on October 18, 2020. A celebration of life service will be held on Wednesday, October 28th at 2 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, 3940 North Vermilion Street. Pastor Mark Verway will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be held on Wednesday, October 28th from 1 to 2 p.m. at the funeral home. It is kindly requested those in attendance of service and or visitation wear a mask and practice social distancing. Memorials may be made to Nellie's memory in First Baptist Church or the Alzheimer's Association. Richard Joe Matthews, 80, previously of Perrysville, Indiana, passed from this life October 20th, 2020. There will be no public viewing or services. Joe will be laid to rest at Walnut Cemetery at a later date. Joyce M. Ingram, 74, passed away at 11:05 a.m. on October 19th, 2020, at the Waters of Covington in Covington, Indiana. A Celebration of Life memorial service will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the family. And one brief note that the City of Hoopston has announced that City Hall will be closed to the public until November 9th due to an additional city employee testing positive for COVID-19 this past Thursday. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for October 26th. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.